Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here are 221-1402, and welcome to the show. Isn't it a great day? We're back, and we are not running for office. So you'll get to hear probably more truth coming out of this microphone than you've heard in a while. Hey, I'm joined today by my producer, the environmentalist, the tree-hugging, trout-catching, polar bear-kissing, and spotted owl spotter, Kelly Frost Jr.
I'd have to say I missed you.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you.
It's fun to hang out.
Hey, we like hanging out here with you, Kelly. Where's your dog?
She's at home.
Okay.
She didn't make it in today.
She didn't make it in today. Well, that just dropped the IQ of this station a little bit. Okay, and of course, I'm joined by my partner here, Linda Bott.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
We have a great hour planned.
It's going to be a great hour. Who knows? There's a lot of different things going to happen today.
You know what? And I love living with you because we talk about the show, what you're going to say, and you got a big rant coming on.
I do have a rant coming on. But first, I have to have a disclaimer here that I no longer have control of this show. You know, as we've said 1,000 times before, this is not our show. This is North State's show. This is the people out there show. You know, if they've got something, if y'all have something to say, North State, call us. Tell us what it is. You know, I've been getting emails from people, and, you know, I've gotten some really good subjects to talk about, and some of them I'm having to research, going to try and figure out just how you're going to attack this. You know, people calling me, leaving anonymous messages about power, and somebody else calling talking about that. It's been pretty interesting, and I tell you what, this is your show. This is the time for you all to give us a call and let us know what's going on. Now, We've also got a guest today we're going to get to in a couple minutes that's from the North State here and has just had an extraordinary career in the military, working in counterterrorism, and as an author. And we're going to get to him in a couple minutes. But first, I want to talk about the Emmys, you know, and Hollywood. You know, when you think of Hollywood, it's the, it's hooray for Hollywood, the glitter capital of the world. I think it's also the sleaze capital of the world. You know, the Emmys were on the other night, and I didn't watch them, so perhaps I shouldn't say this because I do pride myself on not talking about something I haven't seen, but everything I have read about this show is that the stars, quote, stars, spent their time bashing Senator McCain and Governor Palin. This may have something to do with the fact that it's got the lowest ratings of any Emmy show in history. They didn't knock Senator Obama, I understand. But then that would have been wrong in Hollywood. You know, we didn't watch the Emmys. And this is kind of a big thing for Linda. I mean, Linda's grown up in the Hollywood culture. And there's also movies I don't go to with certain actors in them.
I didn't personally ban it. It wasn't that I banned it. It's just that I didn't want to sit there with the cringe factor. And that's the fact. I'll wait till after November 4th. And when everybody's calmed down a little bit, rather than sit there and see people slinging mud, I can't stand it.
Well, you know, the thing is that, you know, when I don't watch a movie, it's kind of my way of protesting their infantile, unworldly way of looking at reality. You know, imagine a person who makes more money in one film, which is at its best mediocre, and sometimes even worse, it loses money, than a brilliant teacher who works their whole life in educating our future. And they make more money in that one horrible film than this teacher does three times over what they make in their entire life. And somebody needs to explain to me who the hell is Pamela Anderson and Paris Hilton and why are they even on, you know, news shows? I mean, the only thing I know that they've both done is make a porn film. I haven't seen a porn film, but, I mean, is that why they're on? Because of what, Hollywood stars? Hey, look, there's more to this, but we're going to take a break right now. And when we come back, I'm going to finish up with a little bit more, and then we're going to get to our guest. This is Carl Bott on Free Fire Radio here in News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance. Need the cup
for all right, this is Carl Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here 221-1402. Let me go on here. All right. We talked about Pamela Anderson and Paris Hilton, and I'm not going to talk about what my producer just said during the break. But what about Sean Penn? Another Denizen of Hollywood going to Venezuela to meet Hugo Chavez. Hugo Chavez is not our friend. I mean, what is that? And who is Sean Penn anyway, besides somebody that stands up in front of a camera and makes, you know, and says lines? And this gives him the right to get on a soapbox and talk about how our country is run? You know, he has that right because he's an American citizen that people have died for to make sure he has that right. Of course, Sean's never been in the service. But it doesn't make you an authority because you're from Hollywood. However, what it does is it gives you a platform that other people who are more knowledgeable have got more to say that's correct than they ever will. It gives them a platform that other people don't. And that brings up my favorite, Jane Fonda. 40 years ago, went to North Vietnam, and it was a publicity coup for the North Vietnamese. Her photo taken sitting on a anti-aircraft gun is forever linked to Fonda. She can't get away from that. You know, I've talked to former POWs, and they can talk pretty dispassionately about being tortured while they were in the Hanoi Hilton. But you mention Jane Fonda's name, and they start really, you know, they start twitching, and they really get upset about it. They feel like they've been betrayed by this woman. Now, the only reason I bring that up, because, you know, she has a right to do these things, is that California, which is a great state, has decided to induct Fonda into the California Hall of Fame. I think that's what it's called. I don't understand how she is entitled to be in this hall when so many others that have contributed to our great state are not. How many Medal of Honor winners are in this hall? I would think that every Medal of Honor winner from this state should be in that hall before Fonda. But I get a feeling that, guess what, it didn't go that way because Fonda's got a name. She's a star. But I tell you what, take that star and stick it up someplace. You know, I thought about this for a while last night and realized I was starting to get angry. And then I realized that this is really a waste of time. Like many occurrences in my life that irritate me, I first have to consider the source. Actors, for the most part, are overpaid children who live in a world that does not exist in real life. Hollywood is a self-licking ice cream cone, people. It's there and it's perpetuated by itself. And frankly, I don't care what Lindsay Lohan says or Matt Damon or Susan Sarandon. Who the hell are these people? They have no more idea what goes on in America and in our Americans' lives than they have a knowledge how to build a Swiss watch. Okay, that's just my rant for the day. Let's go to the phones. Frank, good morning.
Hello.
Hey, are you fired up, Frank?
Hey, you got me all fired up, all those Hollywood people. They're defective, you know what I mean?
They can kiss my Marine butt.
They're just defective. This is Frank Rizzo, R-I-Z-Z-O. Hey, listen, Carl, love your show, Chief, but I want to talk about, I'll take my question and answer off the air.
Okay.
Regarding the lottery. Nobody talks about it. Where's that gin going to? It upsets me.
That's a good question.
I'm upset. You know, you pay all your taxes, you pay your Social Security, and then where's the money going? What about the kids? What about the education, the purpose of it?
Yeah, how much money goes in there? We supposedly pay close to $10,000 a student, you know, on a, you know, to educate them. Where's the rest of the money going?
That's a good question. If we bring this issue up, we got to find out. Everybody's real. Nobody wants to say anything. It's all hush-hush. You know what I mean?
Hey, you know, I tell you what. We're going to have Congressman Herger on here in the near future. And I tell you what, Frank, you call him and ask him. If you don't, I will.
I'll tell you what. It's Frank Rizzo, R-I-Z-Z-O. My next question is, what's up with the oil reserves that we're supposed to get? We're supposed to get some type of money from Iraq.
That's true. You know, they've got, I forget how many, $85 billion or something dollars in their reserves.
I heard 83, and I voted for Huckabee. He's the only guy that would address the issue. He was going to go over there and say, hey, look, you guys need to clean your act up, or we're going to pack it up and get out of here.
Well, you know what? They've cleaned their act up a lot.
Oh, they have. I agree. We got to stay. But, you know, at least he had the cojones to say it. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean? You know what? Frank, you're absolutely right, because we've got people out there right now that are pandering from one side of the issue to the other, both Republican and Democrats. When are we going to get tired of this crap?
Well, I'll tell you what, when they can't answer a simple yes and no question, I mean, I get people ask me questions all day long, and I can give a yes or no answer, but these guys, I think they went to a special college for crying sake.
Hey, it's beyond his pay grade. You know what? Obama said it's beyond his pay grade. He wants to be the commander-in-chief. Guess what? Ain't anybody beyond your pay grade there.
I'm with you.
All right, Frank.
On that one.
Thanks a lot, Frank.
You betcha. It's Rizzo, R-I-Z-Z-O.
Frank Rizzo.
Charlie.
We got it.
All right, bye-bye.
Wow. Hey, Frank, good morning. Okay, let's go. Let's keep going here. Russell, good morning. Good morning. Hello, Russell?
Lights flashing.
Russell? Okay. David.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing, David?
Not too bad. Hey, thinking of what you're saying, that original thing about celebrities, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. What I have a hard time with also are that the politicians that are trying to represent us are also rich, and they don't know what you and me go through on a daily basis. That's why I have a hard time with politics in general. Like, they're saying they had a list of rich politicians, and McCain was like 14th, and Obama was somewhere down there. I mean, someone has millions of dollars, they're not going to know what I go through when I make about $33,000 a year. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. I have a hard time with that. The whole thing, anyone that says about middle America, when they're not middle America, how can you know?
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, and the thing with this is, too, is that if you look at it, many of the congressmen and senators that, when they were first elected, weren't millionaires. But I think they've done some studies here, and I've got to go back and check, but you'll find that most of them now have a lot more money than they did when they started. And so, you know, I kind of question that, too. You know, when I think about this, I think also is we ought to start thinking real hard about term limits. You know, that, hey, do 12 years in there, and it's time to give somebody else a chance. Because when our government was originally set up, it was supposed to be the, you know, somebody that went and ran our government was somebody from the people, from the country. So they would understand this. And you're absolutely right, David, is that what do they know about our, you know, about people that make $33,000, $45,000 a year, how we're spending half our money on mortgages. And the only thing they're doing is they've got houses, you know, or they've got $4.5 million they write off a book that maybe that they wouldn't have done if their name wasn't Senator Obama.
Yep.
Okay, hey, David, thanks a lot.
Thank you much.
Okay, hey, look, we've got a great guest here today. And, you know, Sean Ryan Stewart is, and we met Sean in all places, a class on self-protection, self-defense. And then we started talking to Sean, and it turns out that we've got a man here in the North State that has had a lot to do with fighting terrorism. But he's also an author, and a published author of two books, both of which are really quite interesting. And we're going to talk about those, but we're going to just say good morning here. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
And how are you today?
Just great. Fantastic.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot for joining us today, Sean. Can you give us a little bit of your background and, you know, where you're coming from and what you've done?
Well, I'm a retired military intelligence officer, a retired police officer, retired federal officer, and licensed private investigator.
Well, I tell you what. Okay, that's just a start, and Kelly's here is making weird noises at me because we're going to have to take a quick break here. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we're going to get right into Sean Ryan Stewart.
I was looking at all the life. So much
connected searchlight. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here 221-1402, and the phone lines are backed up. We got a couple more minutes here with Sean. Come on, Sean, you've been in that world, and you've been in that counterterrorism world, and you can talk about it. Or can you tell us? What can you tell us about it?
Well, most of it is unclassified now, but at one time I was assigned in the Army to a Department of Justice unit in Sacramento, and I was working on a case, a money laundering case, and I discovered that the person that we suspected to be a money launderer was actually a PLO terrorist in Sacramento, and he had direct contacts to Yasser Arafat. And I also found out that he sent $50,000 to Sheikh Omar Abdul Rahman, who was the blind cleric involved in the original bombing of the New York Towers.
If you remember, that was in 1993, and the only, you know, that was the first attack on the World Trade Center, and it just didn't work. But it doesn't mean that they didn't want to come back again, as they did.
Yeah, he was actually convicted of the crime and do some of the information I developed. And additionally, he was also involved in the 9/11. We found out that he had connections while in prison. He was still pulling some strings, and he and his lawyers were also convicted of that crime.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember he had a female lawyer on that, and she was it, or am I thinking of somebody else that was passing information?
I believe you're right. I believe she was a female, but she was passing on the information, and we were able to convict him of that crime as well. And that is one of the many highlights in my life. I was particularly proud to have been involved in his capture. But it also brings up the point that right next to us here in Sacramento, there's a gentleman who was actively involved in terrorism against our country.
Okay, now, I want to hold that thought. I want to hit the phones, and we're going to come back and talk about that, Sean, okay? John, good morning. Sorry to keep you waiting.
Good morning, Carl. It's all right, and I would like to comment on what your guest had just said, except I don't feel I have enough information for it, so I'm going to say what I originally called up for.
Okay.
The first part was the caller before me was talking about how legislators were going to relate to his $40,000 a year income and how they could possibly relate to that. You're going to have Wally Herger on shortly, and he's just been identified as the 30th richest legislator in the federal government. You might want to ask him how he's relating to us who are making $30,000 and $40,000 a year.
You know, I just saw that, John, you know, and that's a good point because, you know, Wally, I know that, you know, that you've been reelected like 11 times.
Right.
And, you know, but there's a lot of things that are going on that are wrong. You know, what are you doing about this?
Well, you know, I'd like to, that's the second part of this thing that I was going to call in about this morning on Good Morning America. Bill O'Reilly was on, and I don't know if you caught it or not. You probably were prepping for your show and not really into it.
But yeah, prepping means walking outside and looking at, you know, see if it's sunshining. Okay, go on, sorry.
It wasn't much this morning. It was pretty dark when you got up.
Yeah.
Said, let's forget the conservative liberal crap and elect someone who cares about the people and is honest.
Oh.
He said, furthermore, he said he suggested the government needs to identify the companies that are abusing the public's trust, just as they would identify a producer of tainted food or a manufacturer of dangerous vehicles. In doing so, they would keep the public from investing in those bad paper-floating companies, and they wouldn't have the money to create these messes that they're doing by buying bad paper.
Hey, I am more than I back that completely, because that's, if you've listened to the show, and I know you have, it's, that's one thing we're pushing here. We're pushing is that you do what's right for America, John. And that's exactly what the American people want.
All we need is, if the government's going to have some oversight, have it be in regards to identifying who's doing what to us.
That's right.
You know, rather than having to bail these people out, identify them ahead of time, and we won't invest in them, and we won't get in these problems. But I'm going to say one last thing, and then I'm going to get off because I know you've got a big show going.
I got a hard break here, right?
Okay, here's the final point. Ultimately, it's the responsibility of the people not to overbuy and not to get into these mortgage
taking
situations they can't afford to pay for.
Yeah, taking responsibility for our actions. Thanks, John. Okay, hey, look, this is Carl Budd. Our guest here is Sean Ryan Stewart. We're going to get right back to him right after our break. This is Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, this is Carl Botten. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on 1400 KQMS. What kind of music is that? Okay, let's go to the phones.
It's the
hey,
Who,
Russell.
Carl.
Russell, good morning. It's what?
The Who.
The Who, okay. Russell, good morning.
I was just listening to you earlier. You were talking about Hollywood. And you know what the shame about the whole thing is Hollywood died after World War II. Because if everybody will look at what our Hollywood stars were doing during World War II, we had a lot of them that were overseas serving their country, fighting in the war.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, and they, but you know, that war was supported by the people. And the fact is that you know, this war is it's not even pushed. People didn't realize there's a war going on most of the time.
That's absolutely true, and what I found sad about the whole thing is 2 years after 9/11, a lot of people were like, oh, that happened. It's like people started forgetting. Even up on the hill in Washington, the Democrats started forgetting. you know, we pulled together for a good year as a country, and then all of a sudden everything just started going back the way it was.
You know,
there is no unity in this country.
That's because there's something called polarization. You know what? And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that, Russell, what polarization is in a show later this week. And
yeah.
I appreciate your phone call. Thanks a lot. Okay, Sean.
Yes.
All right. Let's put you in front of the microphone here again. Now, you've written two books based on your experiences and research. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. The first book is called Red Snow, and the S is actually a dollar sign. And it's about Russian organized crime, terrorism, Afghanistan. It actually came out 6 days before 9/11.
Oh, wow.
And this last book that just came out a couple of weeks ago was called Das Haus, The House and the Son of the Rabbi. And it's available on Amazon.com, Yahoo, and Barnes & Noble.
The both of them are, right?
Yeah, or through me directly.
Okay. Now, Das Haus is the one that I've gotten engrossed in. And the thing I've been interested in is that, of course, it's based on a true story with names changed, but about the growth of the neo-Nazis again.
Absolutely.
In Germany. And it's not just a few of them. There's a lot of them.
No, actually, I spent 10 years in Germany, and I lived in this little village right near the Belgium-Dutch border. And in World War II, when Hitler was elected, only one person out of 1,000 voted for Hitler. One. My research developed that in the last election, approximately 10 to 12% of all the inhabitants
of that village
were supporters of the new neo-Nazi party, which is called the NPD in Germany. So there is a resurgence in Germany and in France and in a lot of the European countries, and even in our own country, as we know.
You know, that's something that I've been looking at. We've been doing a little research on that. Probably going to talk about that at some point in the future, too, of skinheads and how music plays in this and how they're starting to attract more and more of our young people into these hate organizations.
Yeah, that's correct. One of the things that I found really amazing was that when the wall came down in Berlin, a lot of the so-called communists then became skinheads and switched party allegiance from left to right almost overnight. And they are the ones who are causing a lot of the problems in Germany and in Europe.
Well, you know, and you see it, you know, but to think that 10% of the German German voters are going for the nationalist parties. In fact, didn't they have somebody in there that was elected to their legislature, which was, if he wasn't a Nazi, it was only because he changed his name?
Yeah, that's correct. And as a matter of fact, while I was doing the research on my book, I spent over 26 years doing research. The last time I went to Germany, my vehicle was vandalized twice, and they carved a swastika on my car. And the last time they smashed the headlights of my Mercedes.
And how did the police take, you know what, this is great. How did the police handle that?
They actually looked at me and they said, if they really wanted to harm you or do harm to you, you would be dead by now. And they refused to take a written report. I was extremely upset because actually death threats were made against myself and my family.
Is that because you're American?
No, it's because the chief of police was a Nazi himself.
Well, you know what? This is this type of hate, whether it's left or right, is, you know, starting to get a little scary because it's starting to grow. And usually, people join this because they have a complete feeling of powerlessness.
That's growing in the United States.
Well, yeah, it is, and it's because they feel like there's chaos around them, and it's like people that believe in all these conspiracy theories. There's chaos, and this is a way of controlling chaos. Is that they go to other people like them that also believe that everything is horrible, and then they start attracting more people online. And online is, I mean, there's thousands of these sites, plus the music. I mean, I actually saw two little girls that are like 8 years old that were singing Nazi hate songs. And, oh, yeah, I mean, and they're little cuties, but they're out there in front of people singing hate songs. Let's go to the phones here. Jerry, good morning.
Hi.
How are
you? This is a little off your topic, but last night my husband and I were watching the news, and they were talking about all the health care and the cost that it costs the taxpayers for people that are in the state prisons.
Uh-huh.
And I was at the picking up a prescription the other day, and this little lady in front of me, she had to probably be around 76,
right.
77,
uh-huh.
And they brought out her prescription. and it was $100, and it was for her eyes, probably glaucoma to keep from going blind, and she couldn't afford it. And that just made my husband and I really mad that these prisoners are getting, who put themselves there with their bad deeds, are getting free medical when our seniors can't afford to buy medicine that will keep them operating in fairly good health. And Bob says, you need to call, you need to write. This isn't right that they're getting all of this for free. And our seniors, who have done nothing wrong and tried to, you know, be good citizens, can't get what they need when they're older. And that's just horrible.
You know, Jerry, you know, when you said, you know, this is off the subject, it's not off the subject. You know, this is something that you feel, this is a subject that you want to address. And that's just what this show is for. You know, we can talk about a thousand different things, but you're absolutely right. You know, I have seen that too. When somebody goes up there and all of a sudden the prescription is $65 or $70, they don't have the money for that. And the thing is, too, is that it's not just prisoners. It's people in here illegally that get health care. They come in, and we've had 8 hospitals and clinics, you know, in Southern California shut down because the number of illegals that go in there to get free health care. And we've got senior citizens that can't afford it. You know, there's something wrong with the system where we give people that are here illegally free health care, and we can't take care of our senior citizens or our children. So, Jerry, this is a great phone call.
Well, I hope people will wake up and try to. I don't want socialized medicine, but no. I think we ought to decide who needs the help most: a state prisoner, or somebody who has worked all their life and then suddenly their income has dropped and they no longer can afford to pay these medical bills.
You know, and not only that, and you're right. I'm not for socialized medicine either. It's the last thing that I want. However, there's got to be a way that, you know, these people that may have had their life savings in the mutual funds and stuff that was providing them a supplement to their Social Security, and then to have all this come apart like it has in the last month is hurting them badly. You know, we've got to find a way. There's got to be an umbrella. There's got to be a safety net there for these people.
Right.
So, hey, thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We've got to take a quick break here. This is Carl Bott here on Free Fire Radio at 1400 KQMS. This is a great show today. Keep calling people. These phone lines are lit up. These are things that are caring. We're going to get right back to Sean here. Talk 1400. Okay, hey, it's Carl Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here at News Talk 1400 KQMS. Sean.
Yeah.
Tell me about what happened in San Quentin there.
Yeah, a few years ago, I was working undercover with the U.S. Customs, and we apprehended a gentleman who turned out to be an illegal alien with 3 kilos of cocaine, and it was his second offense. And he'd been deported already 5 times out of our country. And we went to visit him in San Quentin, hoping that he would work for us. And the gentleman smiled at me, and he looked at me, and he tapped his teeth with his finger, saying, "Why should I work for you when they take care of me so well here in San Quentin? They give me free dental, free medical. I get conjugal visits if I'm a good boy. And in a few years, I'll get out of prison, go back to Mexico, and live on a farm." And he was mocking us that we in America are way, way too easy on our criminals, especially illegals. This is a fact that was broadcast on several news stations, that on an average, 9,300 Americans die every year because of illegal aliens, either through murder, manslaughter, DUIs, car accidents. If you add them all up, that's twice as many that have died in Iraq in the last 5 years.
You know what? This is going to be another show. I mean, or maybe a series of shows about illegals. But
is your heart beating fast yet? Mine is.
Oh, yeah.
Made me want to rip that guy's teeth out.
I want those teeth.
Yeah, I want those teeth. I want to carry them around in a jar around my neck.
Yeah. Good morning, John.
Yes, good morning. Quite the beehive you've stirred up this morning.
Did you just hear what my wife said? She wants to carry the teeth in a jar around her neck.
Yeah, he doesn't deserve.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Hey, you know, I might want to stir just a little bit further. If anybody woke up this morning and didn't realize that the federal government's about ready to bail out three people who performed very poorly in their business, and they're going to bail them out to $1 trillion. And that's more than a trillion. It's two different packages. And we haven't even debated this subject yet. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. Newt Gingrich spoke about it last night, but I will say this, and I have spoken to Mr. Murray in the morning quite a few times. He'll remember this if he's listening. I'm sure he is. A fine is a tax for doing something poorly. A tax is a fine for doing something well. And that is the truth. And today, more than ever, the American people ought to kind of realize and know if you were to eliminate the capital gains tax, the marriage tax, the death tax, and especially the payroll tax, and let the entrepreneurial spirit of the people of this country, the $30,000 and $40,000 a year people, that's their money. This federal government has done nothing for us, and they're about ready to spend $1 trillion of our money to bail out three boneheads who faked this out. And you can't wake up in the morning are we a bunch of sheep and a bunch of lambs? They're going to take this money today.
Hey, what happens to sheep? Yeah, what happens to sheep? They get sheared.
They do get sheared.
And we're getting sheared, and that's just another way of saying something else, you know?
How do you wake up and feel good about the fact that you pay taxes and the only outcome is to bail out poorly executed businesses? And these guys are going to wind up with their $90 million bonuses in that package. We are going to forgive them all of their mistakes and reward them with taxpayers' dollars, and I believe that is insanity. So when Mr. Herger does come on board, I'd love him to address those four taxes, because I've asked this question for the last 6 months. It's really never been answered, but I can tell you if the capital gains tax was eliminated, I don't think we have to give them $1 trillion for any reason. They should fall, and this country will bounce right back.
You know, people get upset about, you know, McCain says, hey, the fundamentals are strong. What he meant was, from what I understand, is that the entrepreneurship, the people like you and like the businesses that you're talking about, they're going to keep going for it. It's when you get up and you start trying to get greedy and you start, you know, making bad decisions, and you're absolutely right. If I make a bad decision, I pay for it. If you make a bad decision, you pay for it.
Oversight committee that actually head this committee should have warned us about these people. Unfortunately, they've taken most of the money, or taken quite a bit of money from these people. Like you said, some of these guys are making more money as politicians before they went in. And, you know, if you have a Christopher Dodd and a Barney Frank sitting up there right now, they ought to be damned ashamed of themselves and embarrassed about what they've allowed to happen here. These problems don't happen overnight. They take administrations years and years and years to screw this up. But that's their track record. And so why would you allow anybody to go up and say, oh, and by the way, we're going to throw out $1 trillion of your money because we got to bail these three guys out? Absolutely not. We stopped the immigration situation by voting, and the people screamed about it. I believe it's time for us to stand up and say, no,
you know what,
that
John,
is not the way you're doing it this time.
Maybe we ought to start a campaign right here, starting here in the North State, start a campaign about what's going on. We start getting written letters, and we start going to them and saying, stop this insanity. Spending our money to bail out idiots.
I am far from a wealthy man. I work very hard every day, just like the gentleman on the phone this morning, both of them. And I will tell you, you don't have to hit me in the head with a baseball bat to wake me up and make me realize I'm being ripped off. And I don't mind paying my taxes. I believe that there should be taxes for certain situations. I think the state should have way more control, and that Washington should be very small. It was never intended to be this big and in this part of our lives.
And it keeps growing. And they want control over, you know, and it's getting worse. They want control from the time we're born to the time we die, and that's wrong.
You got a 44-year-old woman running for the vice presidency of this country. That is what it's all about. And God bless her for doing this, and I think she'll be a fine vice president. I do believe, and I'm not exposing my values. I'm just saying that I think it's time for, I am 45 years old, and I will tell you, more people my age, it's time for this generation, my generation, to stand up and go into those situations, get involved, be more publicly involved, politically involved, to straighten this mess out, because what we've got up there right now needs to be shaken down completely.
You know,
the Internal Revenue Service is a joke.
Yeah, John, I've got to take a break here, but you know what? You're absolutely right, and it is right. People of your age group have got to get into this. You know, stop being the me generation, or stop doing this. Get involved, and I tell you what, you get somebody who speaks the truth, you're going to get up there and you're going to make an impact. Hey, thanks a lot for your phone call.
I just spoke the truth. God bless you both. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks. Okay, you know what?
We need to have people like John email freefireradio.com. We need to get a big old dialogue going on. And like you said, let's start a campaign and get these letters going to the Congress.
Yeah, you know what? We've had enough.
Let's get the teeth out of the prison, okay?
Rip the teeth out of the illegals that are getting it and wear them as an award. All right, hey, let's take a quick break here. It's Carl Bott, Free Fire Radio here on 1400 KQMS. Hey, this is Carl Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Hey, Sean, I have to apologize. You know, disclaimer at the beginning, I have no control over this show. This is North State Show, and we've covered them all. But let's talk a little bit about your books, where we can get them, and I promise you we're going to have you back on here in the next couple of weeks.
No problem, Carl. You can get them through my email, which is Mountain Dreaming Cat. That's MTNDREAMN Cat with a K, K-A-T. At AOL.com.
And that's going to be on our website, freefireradio.com.
Or at Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. They're all available.
The titles of the book again. The books, please.
Red Snow, and the S is a dollar sign. And the other one is Das Haus. That's D-A-S-H-A-U-S. The House and the Son of the Rabbi.
I tell you what, I've enjoyed the books, and I think you all will too. Okay, Linda.
We always try to cover heroes here on Free Fire Radio, and Bill Phelan, ran into him in the parking lot yesterday at Rite Aid. He just received a very special award for Reading for heading up the Order of the Purple Heart, so congratulations, Bill. Also, I had lunch, going back to our subject, I had lunch the other day, yesterday actually, with a couple of my peace-loving sisters. And, you know, more than ever, our country is divided, even amongst those who do om, you know, meditate, and are really into the downward dog, you know, life.
That's yoga.
Yes. And so I just will say that if people are fired up, and I said to the girls, you know, whoever gets to be president, no matter how you feel, what's going to happen here in the next 37, 38 days, whoever becomes our president, we have to rally behind our president. This country has to become united. Now, I am with John and our former callers that if you're really upset about something, you can start a campaign. You can make noise. But we can't keep up the division.
And we're going to talk. This is going to be one of the subjects. It's about polarization in the country and where it comes from and what exactly it is. Okay, let's go to the phones here. Neil, you got 26 seconds.
Okay, I better talk fast. First of all, I really like what I hear. I think you should be seated as mayor. You got my vote. I wanted to throw a quick caution out. Some of the callers talking about rich politicians. Somebody born with a silver spoon in their mouth may not be able to relate to the $40,000 or $50,000 or $30,000 a year jobs, but this is America, and to despise a politician who makes money is almost fallen into that victimization, the government won't allow me mentality. And this is America. If we have vision, we can make money. And if you got rich on the road to politics, you wouldn't quit just because maybe you sold a few books and got several million bucks in the bank. So,
you know, Neil,
we need to be careful there.
You know, Neil, you are absolutely right. I am not knocking people that are success.
Oh, you didn't.
At
it's
all.
Just a couple of the callers, and this isn't directed to them at all.
No, but you're right. But the thing is that it's when I see people that are, you know, that have made a lot of money while they're sitting in Congress, that I start to question that, you know, suppose it's in blind, you know, trust and everything, but are they making the right decisions? And those are things
that
we as Americans,
you know,
we need to question.
Character,
right.
You know, when you pulled yourself up by your bootstraps, like it sounds like you're doing, I think I see you really hitting it good and keeping your character as you do that and go along. And I think you're somebody that, you know, like I said, I'd put my vote behind.
Neil, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
You know, I can't run because, you know, if I talk truth all the time, I'm just going to offend half the people. Of course, maybe, you know. But, you know, wouldn't you rather know where you're coming from than somebody you don't know where you're coming from? Hey, okay, look, this is Free Fire Radio and Carl Bott. You know, our website is freefireradio.com. We're going to be here tomorrow and Saturday. It's the good guys against the bad guys. What's your you?